Welcome to First Generation Initiative's radio special. In celebration of National First Gen Day, November 8th, and UCR's First Gen Week, November 4th through the 8th, we will be highlighting the experiences of first gen undergraduate students at UCR. I'm Dr. Cynthia Alvarez, University Innovation Alliance Fellow and co-lead of UCR's First Gen Initiatives. And with me today, we have Alejandro Mesa Aguilar, Marilyn Madrigal, and Gina Zoe. Welcome, everybody. Please introduce yourselves.
So I'm Alejandro Mesa Aguilar. I'm a fourth-year transfer student, and I would say that my major is film and creative writing with a minor in LGBT studies, and I'm involved in both the school newspaper and Queer Alliance.
Okay. Hello, I'm Marilyn. I'm a third-year business major with possible concentration in marketing or information systems. I'm currently involved within the undergraduate advisory committee, just making sure everyone's needs as undergraduates are being met. And then I'm also a peer mentor with the Academic Resource Center within the academic intervention programs.
Hi, so my name is Gina. I'm a fourth-year biochemistry major, and I'm a peer mentor for CNA STEM Connections, which is for mainly transfer students and underrepresented minorities, as well as the vice president of American Medical Student Association.
Awesome. You're all superstars. I love this. So thank you all for being here. I think this is a really important conversation to have because oftentimes being first-gen is not something that is visible and seen, right? We like to call it a hidden identity, right? So I'm really curious to hear from you when you first realized you were a first-gen college student.
I realized when I was a first-gen college student when I first applied, mainly because at the time I was undocumented, so I really just kind of like had no clue what I was going to do. And it was a little bit like unique because like when I applied, like I didn't know that I couldn't apply at first. So I had to wait a little bit because I had to get my Dream Act and everything in order for like just to be able to go to community college.
Mm-hmm. I think I realized early on during high school, I was in an AVID program, and then, you know, teachers would ask or colleagues of mine would ask, oh, where'd your parents go to school? Where'd your other siblings go to school? And I just wouldn't know how to answer that question. And then they would ask me, oh, are you planning on going to college? You know, early on in high school, I wasn't sure. But then once resources became more available to myself, I realized that college was a step that I needed to take in order to be successful.
Wow. For me personally, I figured out when I was trying to apply to college, and I knew that I had to go to college. My parents really wanted me to go, but I had no idea how to go through the process. And when everything was said and done, I realized that the people around me, they had a lot more support about it because their parents went to college. They had like college advisors that I didn't know existed. So that's mainly how I found out that I was first generation.
What did you... How did that identity or how did that realization impact once you came in and became a full-time student, if that was the case for you?
At first I was a bit nervous because I just didn't know how to maneuver this whole new system to myself. Financial aid, how to order courses, this was all completely new. And I kind of felt intimidated by others who seemed to know what was going on. But later on, you know what, I just embraced it. I was like, you know what, this is something that I shouldn't be ashamed of. This is something that will change not only myself, but my family and future generations to come. So, you know, just embrace it and let people know. And that way I feel like once you have, you know, taken it all in, you can help others that were in your place before.
That actually rings true to me because I had no idea what I was signing up for when I decided to embark on biochemistry here at UCR. It's not an easy major, and I had no idea how to even begin. But I found mentors very early on into the different programs I'm involved in, and those people really helped me out. And that explains why I'm actually a peer mentor now, because I do want to pass on the and completely kind of help the rest of the people that are in my place in the freshman year, younger than me, just keep going.
I would say that the way that I navigated through the system was kind of like figuring things out by myself mainly, But I also having help from like the my mentor from last year from CSP, Chicano Student Programs, mm-hmm. and also like being able to become a mentor myself this year, like it's kind of like enlightening because I can actually like, you know, pay it forward and help someone else also get through the system and like understand that like they're not alone.
I want to hear a little bit more, especially from you, Maryland, mm-hmm. on what made the switch for you to go from maybe feeling unsure and insecure mm-hmm. to being like, this is an identity that I'm going to embrace. Like, yeah. What happened? Were there people involved? Was it an internal thing? Tell me more. And if any of you have something similar, I want to hear it.
Okay, so for me, it was a mixture of both internal and people involved in my life that kind of made me embrace it. So I have a younger sister. She's a first year at Irvine, UC Irvine. And then she would just kind of come up to me and ask me questions that I didn't know during the college application process. And, you know, like, she would ask me, hey, am I still first generation? And I'd be like, yeah, of course you are, you know, embrace it. Don't let anybody put you down on it, you know. A lot of times people become scared and this just becomes a trigger for them to turn off. But I just couldn't let other people who I knew this was their only way out of certain environments. You know, me coming from low income, I just wanted to go back to my high school or, you know, even peers here within Riverside that I could help and, you know, kind of help find their voice within this identity.
I would say that it's kind of like, it's nice having support from both your family and like friends because going through this whole process of like being able to like, or going from feeling a little bit lost to feeling found and kind of like having your footing is nice because like before I would kind of see a lot of other students in my high school just kind of like being able to get ahead because they had parents who like either went to college and they knew what to do or they had tutors and they had the resources to get ahead, and I was just kind of like working as hard as I could to like actually mm-hmm. just make like a good grade every now and then. So it's kind of like nice having a support system of friends who like have those same experiences. Mm-hmm. And even if my parents like aren't also like college students, they at least like help in the sense of like, you know, giving that love and support and understanding that like, you know, I'm like here for my future. Cause it's really hard to like be able to get ahead without like having your family support and friends.
For me personally, I realized that there was a switch between being a mentee or consistently learning, and I'm still learning now, but the switch from being the person that people looked up to and the person that was actually looking up to those people was when the mentors that I had in college started graduating and the younger people started looking up to me, and I realized then and there that, hey, there is a cycle going on, and that's how people who might not be first generation or otherwise have experience are able to learn. It's like the generational passing down of knowledge to help people get further and further. And that's when I really realized that, hey, I really like doing this mm-hmm. and I really want to keep going with it.
Yeah. Well, that's really touching. I think coming to that realization that your identity holds power mm-hmm. and that you have so much agency in how you pass out that knowledge, whether it's with your family members, your parents, or your younger siblings or other students, right? I think that's so important and so valuable, and it needs to be acknowledged. I remember I am a first generation college student myself, and I remember feeling this way when I was translating so much of what was going on mm-hmm. at the university to my parents and family members, not only from English to Spanish, but also from this academic language and setting. I didn't know how to translate registrar. I was like, it's the lady or the person or the man who does this. So it was, it's challenging, but also you realize that you're embarking on something that is so important and it's going to have ramifications, positive ramifications, hopefully, with those around you and your community. Cool. Mm-hmm. Do you all You wanted to add something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It's really hard to explain to my parents what I'm doing. Like, my parents were this morning, why were you on a radio station again? And to them, it's natural that they spent so hard trying to get to America, and then having me in college is their goal. They want me to keep going. And sometimes when I talk to them about like the things that I'm doing, the speaking engagements, or when I'm working with students, they're like, wow, I would not have imagined. I'm just glad that you're trying to get yourself through college and try to improve the family and keep going. Mm-hmm. And definitely it's so hard to explain, because how do I explain what we're so used to living mm-hmm. to people who have no idea, because they didn't grow up like that. And mm-hmm. it was just really different.
Yeah. And then for me, I had, how I mentioned before, my younger sibling going first year. And then also what I found really interesting, that her friends who were first generation also came to me as a resource, which I really loved. And I would help, you know, translate something that's so easy to me now, but I could see as a first year or incoming freshman is so difficult, is financial aid package. What do I need? What don't I need? How much do I need of a loan? How would I repay a loan? What's a subsidized? What's an unsubsidized? You know, they would come to me with these questions. I'd be like, of course I'm going to answer these. Like, these are important. This is how you will get through these 4 years.
Oh boy, I feel that too. Yeah. No, I think even more so is the fact that, like, when you deal with, like, all those, all that translating, it's so yeah. difficult, because it's, like, it's really hard, especially even more so if, like, you're one of the first few of your family to, like, mm-hmm. go out of, like, that town that, like, everybody's in. Because, like, all my cousins are also going in college, but they're in the same town still. So it's, like, they're closer to family and everything, but like I have to like make phone calls, and I have to plan like when I can actually like be able mm-hmm. to see them and everything, and like actually translate everything. So it's a little bit hard, but it's still nice being able to like have someone to like I guess like talk to like be able to translate all this mumbo jumbo and jargon.
That yeah.
like that imposter syndrome hit real hard when I yeah. came in.
Say more.
I totally agree. Imposter syndrome, especially being where we are now, I can agree, say that all of us are varying levels of success and doing pretty well for mm-hmm. ourselves. That there's no other way to do it. And when I first got my a job opportunity, I was like, wow, do I really deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure there's not people who know more than me, who are able to do more? And it's kind of a weird feeling to get through, and I don't think I'm truly through it myself, but I always look around and go, hey, what am I doing here? What is my value to this? Isn't there someone better? And I think we're conditioned to think that way because we don't really speak about mm-hmm. it, which is why I think it's really important to have a talk such as like this, a podcast or radio station, just for people to express their feelings, because first-generation students don't typically have a voice,
mm-hmm.
Especially because we're just too busy trying to work on ourselves, like he mentioned, to kind of work on yourself and try to do better and like try to feel like you're matching the level of the person that's mm-hmm. working.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally relate to what you said, is there someone better than me? Because coming from that transition, as you said earlier, from mentee to mentor, it's kind of strange where you're just like, you looked up to somebody who would give you these resources, and now you're becoming that person. It's kind of just something empowering, and you just kind of want to, you know, step back and go through that process of, you know what, I'm giving these tools, these resources to those who don't have it.
You're legit. Yeah. You become legit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, I think being first gen never ends, right?
Yeah.
Because even when I was transitioning into graduate school, I had the same thoughts, imposter syndrome. Even now as a professional, there are times when I, you know, the voice comes up and it says, you know, do you know how to do this? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? And some of the time is yes, because I did research and I understand. But other times, it's such a unknown territory. And my family is fantastic because they're very supportive. They will do their best to learn about what I'm doing and what I'm engaging in. But they can't necessarily give me advice on how mm-hmm. to negotiate mm-hmm. for a higher salary, or mm-hmm. how to go about deciphering which jobs to apply mm-hmm. to, right? And yeah. that's such specific information that it has to come from someone who has gone through that. And I think that's where mentors play such an important role, mm-hmm. especially other people who can identify with your path and with that experience and what that means. Mm-hmm. I want to really focus on the areas in which you feel proud of yourself in being first gen. I think sometimes you get stuck in this narrative of it's so hard and it sucks, and it's very true, but then there are so many other amazing things that you are all doing, right? That you are all not just surviving, but that you're thriving in. So I want to spend some time focusing on that. So tell me where you feel you're like, I am a very, very awesome person.
Well, I think those who doubt you or say you can't do it just have fear in the power that you have. Like us as a first identity, first generation identity, and you know, that voice brings power. And then those who want to bring you down are just afraid of what changes you will make in order to make it easier for people coming in that are like you. And I just feel like something that I thrive in myself is, you know, it's 30 year here, you know, I think I've got this pretty down, you know. I'm a peer mentor now, you know, I could pass on this knowledge and whatnot. So, you know, I'm happy that I've finally found a routine for myself that works. I'm happy that I know what is going on and, like, in a way, pass out knowledge onto somebody else, because I know a lot more people need this.
I want to say, okay, I don't want to put myself in the back, but I'm happy enough that I'm happy and proud about myself being able to juggle a job and an internship, mm-hmm. like when I was in community college, and I can still do it now. Like, even if I have like two or three extracurriculars, I don't even know how many to get. I still do it at the end of the day with like two jobs, and it feels like, it sounds like it's difficult, but at the end of the day, when you work really hard previously, it seems like another day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like it's not a bad thing to be first gen. I think it's more of like an upper hand, because all those people who had resources before, mm-hmm. they grew up being handed everything. But yeah. like for being able to work hard to get everything we want, that's something else in itself that makes you feel more powerful.
We're used to that hustle. We're used to doing everything for ourselves, you know? So, yeah, I totally relate to you on that. Like, some people come here, an example is one of my classmates didn't know how to wash their laundry. Came with the whole, like, note of having, like, you know, like, how to wash their, instructions on how to wash their clothes. And I was just like, I've been washing, my mom told me, as soon as you're tall enough to reach that washer, you're going at it. So, you know, I just already came with these resources, you know, that hustle that has, I don't know, just always been in us.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, something that I thrive in is the whole perspective that I have. I'm a peer mentor now for two different things under the College of Natural and Agricultural Sciences. One for first-generation minority students who are kind of encouraged to pursue more research and biomedical-type occupations in the future, like higher education, as well as for the transfer students that I mentioned from before. And I think I really thrive in hearing like the different perspective, because I myself have a different perspective of where maybe I didn't know how to do laundry because my parents wanted me to spend all my time studying during high school and when I was younger, and I was trying to help out the best that I could. So for me, my perspective is I don't know that much about kind of like helping out around the house, but I try to do my best. And I was taught to always like go forth and learn. And now I've learned how to kind of time manage more and juggle, because in high school or when I was younger, it was more about just trying to do your best in school. Everyone could afford these very expensive tutors just to pass a class, and teachers didn't really have to teach because they knew that everyone had a tutor. So I just had to do it myself. But now in college, I can have two jobs, various extracurriculars, working in a clinic, and doing everything else that I'm doing to keep going with myself. And it's the hustle life that she mentioned that was really helpful, because I have like a growth mindset where I always want to do better and help others too on the while on the way. And that's the type of mentality that I like to kind of have for myself. And that's where I feel like I truly thrive.
I just have like welling tears right now hearing all of you. I think hustler is such a great way to define first-gen students, because they're is always a hustle. You're trying, you're keeping up, you're excelling, you're juggling a bunch of other responsibilities, and at some point it just becomes the regular, right? But I think it's okay to pat yourself in the back multiple times a day if you want to, because it is a lot. It is a lot that you are continuously achieving and maintaining, right? So I encourage all of you to do self-affirmation, pats on the back, and also with your fellow mentees and mentors and friends, because it's a hustle that a lot of us are going through. So congrats to all of you. Yes.
I think that the hustle culture is really important, and that all of us do it, and we strive to do so much. But at the same time, I always think about the other people who might not be doing as much as we are. And maybe some people should be doing less because their mental health might suffer from it. And there's this culture of people, especially people who are first generation, people who don't have always have had so many experiences offered to them, to want to do everything. And sometimes it's okay to say no, and it won't make you any less of a person that you are, because your sleep, your time management is all really important. And to have hobbies and ways to de-stress just around the week while still maintaining your academics, because we're all first and foremost college students. So I think that that's another important thing to remark.
Yeah, to add on to that, something that I learned is, you know, how are you going to be successful if you're not taking care of you? You know, little things that you can do to better yourself will help. Well, those little things make the biggest impact. You know, 7 to 8 hours of sleep, you know, as a college student, that's rare. But, you know, trying to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, 2 to 3 meals a day, you know, try to get something.
7 to 8 hours a week?
7 to 8. No. 7 to 8 hours. 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And then, you know, meals, you know. And then also, number three, you know, exercise. Somewhere to de-stress, you know, somewhere to get that energy out. You know, taking care of yourself is important. Don't forget about you. You have priorities, but make you the number one priority.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I think the thing you said about sleep or eating, a lot of people forget about it and discount it. Like, oh, I was just too busy catching up on some homework or something. But taking care of yourself is really the most important part, because if you can't function as a biochem major, I guess, biologically function and do everything well, you can't continue to sustain the lifestyle that you are living. And ideally, we all want to do this into the future, keep going with our careers and keep going with our trajectory. So we also need to think about ourselves and our base, like keeping our body healthy, happy, so that we can keep and continue the hustle.
Yeah.
Because there's still a you in the hustle.
Yeah.
There is still a you in the hustle. I love that. Yeah. Well, thanks for that reminder. I think it's a good reminder for me, right? And I think it's for everyone. That's really important, I think, for all of us to keep remembering that you are an important piece in all of this. Yeah. It is you. And so taking care of yourself is part of the hustle, right? There isn't you in hustle. I'm never going to forget that. I want to finish our conversation talking about your suggestions to the campus on how to better serve you and other students. This is your call out. This is your time to say, I need this, this, and that.
Well, I was thinking about this yesterday. Something that would be really cool, you know, we have all these cultural programs, you know, Chicano student programs, Asian American student programs, and stuff like that. Adding something for first generations, a little office, you know, where everything, all these resources can become more available, because I feel like asking for help is the first step, but you may get confused of where do I go to ask for this help. So having a little first generation station, if you may, you know, if you can, you know, like where they'll have like workshops, financial aid workshops, you know, time management workshops, even though like the ARC, the Academic Research Center, has some of these workshops, I highly encourage to look into those as well. These can be very helpful for you to succeed academically within your quarters, but, you know, having like a little office, a little space for first generation students to be comfortable asking these questions.
I want to say that, like, CHASS has that, like, mm-hmm. CHASS first years. But, like, they should expand it to all yeah. majors or, like, all colleges and not just the humanities. Like, that's where we're, like, luckier in.
Yeah, definitely.
But if we expanded it to, like, all majors, it'd be kind of nice to, like, have all students, like, you know, have this resource that, like, mm-hmm. teaches you and engages you within, like, the system itself and expands upon things that we don't know. Yeah.
Definitely. mine is kind of more off the left field in this regard. But for me, I think something that I would really appreciate would probably be more spaces on campus that mm-hmm. are safe and open, maybe 24 hours a day. So a lot of us, we have to study very hard, and maybe our living situation might not be the quietest or might not mm-hmm. be the best to kind of further our growth. So study spaces or long-term spaces to relax, or just between classes or before they want to go home might be something that students may appreciate throughout the school.
Mm-hmm. I want to say maybe a course that teaches on all the resources that we have here, mm-hmm. or like
yeah.
maybe
yeah.
a seminar to do that, because I know a lot of students don't know that they have the art pantry when it comes to like food insecurity, and like people like either go hungry or they're like hungry as hell, like just mm-hmm. going through classes and everything. I know that there's a need to like know that there are like resources like CHASS for those mm-hmm. who are like CHASS first. I mean, CHASS first for those who are CHASS majors. Mm-hmm. And even like just the ethnic, gender, and sexuality programs, because a lot of people don't know that those have a lot of free resources either within mental health or even just like scantrons and pencils mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think something else that would be really helpful, going back to the earlier conversation we had, is something that helps you better yourself. So, you know, a basic needs program that's more sustainable. Definitely. We do have the art pantry, but it's not as accessible as it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure many of us think about it that way, you know, having
more 24-hour spaces.
Yeah, more 24-hour spaces. You know, having something, you know, academic success is important, but as stated before, you know, you got to put yourself first in order to be academically successful. So yeah. having those little programs that could benefit, you know, the person themselves would be really helpful also.
I think that like Irvine has theirs like 24 hour or something like that, but like mm-hmm. we only have ours like certain days.
Yeah, Merced as well.
I think as a peer mentor, I tend to offer a lot of these resources, especially mm-hmm. that's kind of my job, to offer people resources that they might not have heard about mm-hmm. or to be able to quickly learn and search for resources for a needs for a student that they come forward to me about. And I think that's really important to kind of let people know more about these things. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you all for sharing your wisdom and your energy. I'm feeling it, and I think it's going to empower me and push me through the rest of the week, if not the year, probably. So thank you all for coming. This has been the First Generation Initiatives Radio Special. A special thank you to our guests, Alejandro Mesa Aguilar, Marilyn Madrigal, and Gina Zhou. This program was recorded in the studios of KUCR on the campus of the University of California, Riverside. Our engineer today is Elliot Fong. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Cynthia Alvarez, and we'll catch you next time.